almost mid-October. Got another week officially for mid-October to happen. And it will be halfway through the fall and coming down on our Delta wave. It seems like the weather can't figure out whether it wants to be really fall or summer. But I don't know about everyone else, but I'm enjoying the cooler, cloudy temperatures. Our case numbers across the country, if you're following the charts, are coming down, except for the Rockies, particularly the northern Rockies and the northwest parts of the U.S. and North Dakota, Minnesota now, and to some extent Wisconsin. The pandemic that had hit the South so hard with Delta is ebbing right now, and including in Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, the numbers have come down considerably since the beginning of September. Here in the Triad, we're about half of what we were at peak. If peak happened right around Labor Day here, and that's good with our case numbers. An interesting event happened as of this week. The case numbers per 100,000 per week in Wilkes County is now the same as in Forsyth County. So Wilkes, who had got hit really hard with Delta at the beginning of September, has had a considerable easing. And that is also reflected in the other rural counties around us. Why are our cases coming down? Well, some of it's vaccination, and some of it's those who were going to get breakthrough infections have, and then got boosted by having their COVID cold, so to speak. And then other people who are unvaccinated have gotten COVID, and that's going to provide some natural immunity for a while. I have been looking at our hospital numbers, which are also coming down, but noting that still well over 95% of the people being admitted to our hospital with COVID are unvaccinated still. So there's 60 million unvaccinated people roughly in the United States yet. And that worries me. That worries me for them because COVID's not going to go away. And one way or another, as we work our way and wiggle our way out of the pandemic, just about everybody's either going to get vaccinated or they're going to get COVID. And I'd rather have people get immune through vaccination than I would from getting the infection. 4% mortality still on overall and unvaccinated people. And that's pretty darn high when you compare it to other things. Some sobering statistics here, both locally and nationally. The first one is that the New York Times synthesized and published the deaths due to COVID since the beginning of June. So they took away the deaths due to COVID that happened during the first half of the pandemic and then looked just at from June until now. And that is important because that's the Delta variant, and that's the Delta wave, and that's the wave of deaths that occurred in unvaccinated people. And if you look in our region here, they broke it down by county. The counties that got hit the hardest with mortality in our area were the rural counties to the west, south, and north of Forsyth County. So that would be Stokes, Surrey, Davidson, Rowan, Iredell, and leading the pack in deaths per 100,000 was Wilkes County. And the rate of death in Wilkes County was roughly, I think, around 1 in 400 people. And that means that just about everyone in Wilkes County probably knows somebody who died of COVID. And that is just horrible. The other statistic that I really wrenched my heart came out this morning, and it was in the Washington Post, that one in 500 children in the United States have lost a parent or primary caregiver due to COVID. One in 500. That's a lot of kids who have lost parents or primary caregivers. And that's going to be something that is going to be a long-lasting effect of COVID that goes into the years and decades from now, because that's a huge event in a child's life. In some ethnic minorities and racial minorities, that rate goes even higher. So in Native Americans, it's roughly 1 in 660. So 1 in 160 kids have lost a parent or primary caregiver. Hispanics is about 1 in 250. African Americans, it's about 1 in 200. And so I think that is just another statistic that highlights how hard COVID has hit racial and ethnic minorities. And that our conference, our infectious disease conference that we had last week, was we had a lot of talks about that. And that's something in public health that we need to address. And not just for pandemics, but for everything. A little bit on a more uplifting note, our schools are overall doing pretty well here in the Triad. We're still masking largely in our area for our kids in schools. Starting up some testing programs, particularly for athletes. And while there are some quarantines happening and some occasional infections, the school place itself seems to be a safe place to be. And the infections that are happening are in the activities that surround school and the social aspects. Wake Forest University, I'll knock on some wood, is doing great, actually. In the last roughly 10 days, we've had two students, that's it, who have presented with symptomatic COVID. And so why are they doing so well? Is because that community is so largely vaccinated. Over 98% of the kids and almost an equal number, same number for faculty and staff. So if you have such a highly vaccinated group of people, the virus just has a horrible time transmitting from person to person. And it just extinguishes itself out. Rather than having somewhere between 4 to 6 people infected with the Delta agent from every one person, it becomes a number less than one. And it makes it hard to transmit. A lot of things still about boosters, and the FDA is going to be busy this month. In the next 3 weeks, the FDA and its advisory committees will be considering, one, Moderna boosters. So for those who got Moderna, what a booster shot might do for them, and what ages they'll recommend for that, and what groups of people. They're also going to hear J&J's data on a second shot for their vaccine, the vectored vaccine, J&J's. So notice I said second shot for that one, and that I said that on purpose, is because I think J&J's vaccine should have been two shots all along. I've been saying that all along. Now we're going to see the data to support that, and I'm pretty sure they're going to recommend a second shot. And then we're going to hear data gets presented on what I call mix and match vaccines. So if you got Pfizer initially, you get Moderna second. What does that mean? Does it work better? Does it work worse? Does it work the same? And we'll see how, and it's all the perturbations of the three different vaccines, so it's kind of like there's nine different ways to look at it. And so that's going to be coming out. And then the FDA is going to make their pronouncement on vaccines for the 5 to 12-year-old group. I've been saying that it'll be around Halloween, and it still looks like Halloween or the week after for that emergency use authorization to come up. So a great trick or treat, depending on how you look at it as a kid, for our children for the Halloween time period. And that's something a lot of parents have really been looking forward to. And we'll talk more about that towards the end of the month when we've seen the data. But from what I've seen of it early on already, it looks great. Kids get immune and side effects are less than in adults. And adverse reactions haven't been seen in the small numbers. Confusion, lots of confusions around boosters. Let me tell you what it is right now, today, that boosters are for people who initially got Pfizer and they got it at least 6 months ago. And if they're over the age of 65, or if they're between the ages of 50 and 65 and have underlying health problems, then they should get a booster, and I agree with that. I think they should. And I think now's a good time to do it. Where are those boosters available? They're available at retail pharmacies, including in the Atrium Health Systems, Wake Forest Baptist Systems. And they're available in some primary care offices. They're available from other health systems over at the mall, our Novant system at the Sears building. Of course, the health department, you can get a booster there too. If you are younger than the age of 50 and otherwise healthy, then we may not need one right now because the vaccines are still, every study that comes out shows they're still working well to keep people out of the hospital and from getting serious COVID. So you might want to wait. And if you waited until November, then you'll know the data from mix and match and and those for who got Moderna, well, you'll have the data for that. If you are in a situation where you have a higher risk of being exposed to COVID, like college students, or people who are out and about facing the public all the time, then you can go get a booster now if you want. If you had Moderna or Pfizer, you're going to probably want to wait until the end of the month until that data comes out, and it's not an emergency. The early on, it looked like that the expected events like sore arms and fevers following a booster shot was about the same as the first shot. Now it looks like that it's more like the second shot. And so that means about somewhere between 15% and 20% might get a fever the day afterwards. Usually doesn't last more than a few hours. And you might get a little sore in the arm that got vaccinated. And you can take ibuprofen or Tylenol for either of those, and it works great to alleviate that. So it's about the same as what the second shot was. A few things about other treatments and modalities besides vaccination that's going on. So monoclonal antibodies are still available. If you have COVID, if had COVID, particularly if you're immunocompromised or you're unvaccinated or you have high risk for serious events from COVID and you test positive for COVID, then you're eligible for a monoclonal antibody treatment. And we have appointments available in our health system, Atrium Wake Forest Baptist Health, and here in Winston, also up in Wilkes County at the FEMA site, and then over in Guilford County. So it's something to keep in mind. Some real exciting news this week about what I call a COVID Tamiflu, which is a medication that you can take for COVID, just like how you would take Tamiflu for the flu. And it's called molnupiravir, and it's an antiviral drug. Hopefully the trade name is going to be shorter than the scientific name, molnupiravir. And the clinical trial, the phase 3 clinical trial of that drug was halted early because it worked so well. And the data review committee for Merck said, you know, because the efficacy of the drug is so high, it cut hospitalizations and deaths by 50%. In fact, in the drug arm, there were no deaths at all. In the placebo arm, there was 6 or 7. And that's a pretty effective antiviral. So they said, you know what, looks good. It's time to take this data to the FDA and get approval. I suspect that this will be available probably sometime around Christmas or shortly afterwards. Interestingly, in the media, there are some people saying, oh, it's a game changer, and then others say it's not a game changer. Dr. Oll thinks it's a big advance, actually. And here's why. Rather than getting a monoclonal antibody that you have to go to a special infusion center and sit for a few hours, make an appointment, it's kind of onerous and it's hard, and it's hard for health systems to keep this up. The drug is hard to make and it gets in short supply, like even now. This will be a pill that you get by a prescription. So you get a COVID cold or you get sick, and you go to your doctor and you test positive, then you take this medicine within 5 days. And you can get a prescription and go get it filled at a pharmacy. This is a major step to living with COVID and the transition from COVID being, you know, a pandemic to a virus that is part of our normal plethora of respiratory viruses that we get during cold and flu season. So if you can imagine, you wake up, you got a bit of a fever, you got a headache, coughing a little bit, you go get your diagnosis. Is it flu? Is it COVID? Is it another virus? If it's flu, then you can take Tamiflu. If it's COVID, you can take molnupiravir. If it's another virus, you just go home and take your chicken soup. And you know what you have, and there's therapies available for it. The other thing that with this drug, it's now entering into studies to see how well it prevents COVID. So if Johnny comes home, trials and entering phase 3 trials. The other thing in the news this week is the federal government is putting about $1 billion into home testing, so to make home tests more available, so you can go down to your retail pharmacy, buy some home tests, keep a few of them at home in case you need to find out if you have COVID or not. So how would you use these? Well, there's a few ways. One, if you wake up with a cold and you want to know, is it okay to go to work or school, you home test. And if it's positive, then you self-isolate for 10 days. Let the health department know you had a positive test so we can count it. Some of the tests have apps that go on the phone with them that do that for you. And if it's negative, put on a mask and go to school. Go to work because you don't have COVID. How else could you use a home test? Well, let's say you had a big wedding you wanted to go to. Home test before you go to the wedding. Make sure that you won't be exposing somebody if you're an asymptomatic person with it. The tests are not designed to be self-diagnosis if you get real sick. You probably want a doctor to do that. It's more to direct what kind of activities that you can do. So this is another step to living with COVID as we transition from a pandemic to the virus being one of our normal respiratory viruses. You know, it's possible in the future we could have home flu tests too, and you can find out if you got the flu or you got COVID. So I think it's a helpful thing to do. In our transition here, we've been doing more things that we enjoy and that involve being around other people. If you're a Wake Forest University football fan, first of all, so far so good. It's been a pretty good year. Winning record, ranked team. First time ever, Wake Forest, I think, has been ranked higher than Clemson in the last 10 years. But we're having big football games and haven't seen any real problems with transmission events at these games. They're outside, that's the key. We're having the Classic Fair, the Carolina Classic Fair, out at the fairgrounds, and it involves all the activities that we would normally do, including eating food that's not good for you. And masks are recommended and actually required for being at the fair, which will help reduce risks even more so than just the fact that it's outside. And I really don't think we're going to have a lot of problems from the fair. We're coming up on Halloween. I think next week we'll talk more specifically about Halloween. But let's have and enjoy Halloween this year. And for kids, I think trick-or-treating is going to be fine. I think it's going to be okay. Our case numbers will be down. It's outdoors. People usually spread out. Parties, indoor parties, I'm not sure I'd plan one of those yet this year. That one may be one for next year. Outdoor parties could be a lot of fun with Halloween. Kind of dark and spooky. Everyone loves a good spooky Halloween. We'll talk more about it next week. And then it's time to start thinking a little bit about the holiday season coming up. It's a little early to know exactly what our holidays are going to look like this year. I'll give you my prediction in a minute. But we're going to talk more about holidays next week as well. I think that, just to summarize, I don't think it's going to be quite so onerous and lonely as it was last year. And I'll explain why next week. So that kind of brings me to what do I think this winter is going to look like? Well, as I've said all along, COVID's not going to go away. Even New Zealand finally figured out that COVID, getting zero COVID, is just not tenable anymore, and they're going to start relaxing all their lockdowns. COVID is going to be a respiratory virus that circulates with all of our other respiratory viruses. Most of our population will be have some degree of immunity to it. Those few people who don't will still be at risk of having a serious COVID infection. That's just like any other respiratory virus. People don't realize it, but we in infectious diseases do, that if you have a weakened immune system for whatever reason, occasionally even healthy people, it's rare, can get adenovirus, a respiratory virus that can be very serious. You can get even rhinovirus, which is the cold virus, and for some people it can be really serious. RSV can be really serious for a small number of people. Parainfluenza, another cold virus, can be serious for some people. So COVID will be in that too, can be serious for some people. Some of these respiratory viruses, we can have vaccination. COVID's one of them, so you can largely protect yourself totally from that one. Influenza is another, where you can really attenuate the disease if you get it. And that's another one. The other ones, we don't have vaccines really for them yet. So we have done well and survived as a population, have done the things that we've wanted to do and the activities that we want to do, including going to school and such, for decades, living with respiratory viruses. And we will do so again. And quarantine eventually is going to go away for COVID. Isolation will eventually go away for COVID when our vulnerable population becomes so small. And that's how this pandemic will end. It'll be a slow slide back into, do we want to go back to normal? A lot at our conference about that this year. And a lot of it directed for health systems and hospitals and public health. No, we don't want to go back to the way it was before the pandemic, because things weren't good before the pandemic. Healthcare disparities, racial and ethnic disparities in healthcare, they existed in the pandemic well before COVID came along. We don't want to go back to that. We want to build these systems better. We want to have better public health for everyone. We want to have health systems that respond and are available and access to care for everyone. Our health systems themselves, do we want to go back to the way it was before the pandemic? No, we want it to be better. We want safe health care that's readily accessible, that's less expensive, and easier to access, that responds to data and increases the health for everyone in our population. That's what we would like to go to. We don't want to go back to the way it was. So that's really a lot of things. When people say, let's go back to normal, you know, think about it, and it was a way of moving forward to a better life and a better society in our post-COVID pandemic worlds. I'll leave it at that and let people think about that for a while. So next week, let's have some questions. Our team will be ready to compile those, and we'll address them next week. So Halloween, and maybe if you want to start thinking about the holidays coming up, if you still have questions about boosters, that'll be on the table too, even though the booster world's going to be changing over the next 3 or 4 weeks. But yeah, go ahead and send in your questions. We'll talk about them next week. So we'll see you then.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, you may ask a question. You can even ask two.
It's about people who can't taste or smell, but then go get tested, because that's one of the symptoms.
Right.
So they get tested and it comes back negative. What could cause that?
Yeah. So, you know, the loss of taste and smell has become kind of famous with COVID, because right now it's the most common cause of it. But there are other reasons you can have loss of taste and smell besides that. Some of them are certain nervous conditions. Some of them can be blockages in that part of the nose, because smell is such a big part of taste as well. The nerves that come from the tongue can sometimes be affected by something like Bell's palsy or something along like that, and that can cause it. So there are other reasons. So if you've had a loss of taste and smell and you test negative for COVID, wait a little while and see if they come back. A lot of times they just come back on their own. And if they don't, then that would be a reason to see an ear, nose, and throat doc about why that might be there. You want to get it investigated. So I gave you two questions. Do you have another one? Randy's got one over here from Spectrum.
You know, because the booster's coming out, do you need to have the three shots to be fully vaccinated, or is that just...
Yeah, so are you fully vaccinated? Do you have to have a booster to be fully vaccinated? No, not right now. You're fully vaccinated with one J&J vaccine or two of the Pfizer or Moderna. So for mandates and things like that, two is what it is. Will that change in the future? Maybe, because we're getting more information about what constitutes a real full series for vaccination. And it may be three messenger RNAs and two of the J&J may be what it'll be. But for right now, you're fully vaccinated if you've got one of the J&J, two of the messenger RNA.
Can you get the flu and COVID vaccine at the same time?
Oh, yeah, I should have mentioned that. Flu vaccine, yeah, it's time to get our flu vaccines. Get your flu shot. Almost everyone is offering flu shots now, and you should get that. If you were previously vaccinated for COVID, get your flu shot. If you're not vaccinated for COVID, then get a flu shot and your COVID vaccine. If you're going to go and get a booster and you want to get your flu shot at the same time, you certainly can. One in each arm. It's just as safe, maybe even a little bit better in effectiveness to get them at the same time. And then it's certainly more convenient because you only have to go once. So yes, you can get them at the same time.
When do we expect Moderna's booster to be available?
But Moderna's booster to be available sometime around the end of October, probably. Sometime in there. About the same time we can start doing 5 to 12-year-old kids with Pfizer.
Got one question here. I know you kind of touched on it. Do you have any insight on whether the flu might be worse this year, COVID worse than the flu?
Right. So, yeah, question, what's my anticipation and prediction for how the flu season will be? I think last year we saw zero flu, basically. COVID beat it out and outcompeted it in the respiratory virus world. This year, because of either pre-existing immunity from natural infection or from vaccination, other respiratory viruses are going to be able to grab a foothold, I think, in it too. And that includes flu. So really, flu vaccine this year is going to be really important. We might see a rebound of flu that actually is more significant than what we usually see. So it might be a busy respiratory viral season.